What is the ruling on group dua? Is one holds a halaka? Is it or to always make dua at the end of it?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم ما بعد الحمد لله welcome back and جزاك الله خير for staying inshallah may Allah increase us much in knowledge and benefit inshallah ta'ala. Before I answer that question, there was a question we had spoken about before Salah about a woman, if her parents are preventing her from marrying somebody that she desires to marry. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he commanded a woman to marry with a guardian. La nikaha illa bi wali. But the wali, he is supposed to guard the interests of the woman. And so if he's preventing a woman from marrying a righteous man, so then the fuqaha, they say that in this case, the woman has a right to bring her matter before a judge, an Islamic judge or an imam in this country. And so the imam will, or the judge will ask the father why he's preventing the marriage. If he says that the woman can, he doesn't want her to get married because of the race of the person, or because of some non-Islamic reason, because of he wants the daughter to work and so he can benefit from her income, then the judge will command him to say that you cannot prevent your daughter's marriage for this reason. And he'll either ask him to marry her or he'll move the guardianship to the next closest male relative. So the guardian is there to protect the interests of the woman but not to prevent her from marrying an Islamically compatible spouse or an Islamically compatible husband. When it comes to the dua, the scholars after a halaqa, the scholars say it's allowed to make dua at the end of a halaqa. But it's not something that is an established sunnah, but it's not something that we should take as an established sunnah. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on occasions when he gave when he taught a lesson or he gave khutbah, he made dua. So from this regard, if it's not taken as an act of worship, then Allahu A'lam, there's no harm in doing that once in a while, inshallah.
Next question. What do you think about opening a saving account which should have some extra money added to the money every time? Also, how about credit cards?
No, mashallah. The ulama, they say about the savings account, the savings account is one that has an annual percentage added onto it. This is riba. Whenever you have an amount of money added on based on time, then this is riba. So the scholars say it's not allowed. It's haram to do that. And number two, when you place your money in the bank, then they're going to use that money to lend it to others and then take riba from them. And so they're going to use it to encourage riba. And Allah, He said, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Riba will be destroyed by Allah and sadaqah will be blessed. So unfortunately, the banks, the riba-based banks, we should avoid putting the money in there and try to place them in Islamic banks. However, over here in the West, we don't always have Islamic banks. So what can we do? Can we put all the money in a mattress or save it in the house? It's very dangerous, right? It could be lost. So in this case, due to the darura, we find that the fuqaha, they say that a person can put it in the bank, but he shouldn't willfully put it in a savings account. He should put it in a checking account that doesn't accrue interest. Now somebody might say, why not take the interest and benefit from it? Well, we don't want to voluntarily or willfully engage in such a riba-based contract. We don't want to do it willfully. If we're forced to put the money in the bank, then at least we put it in an account that doesn't deal with riba. But alhamdulillah, now there are some Islamic banks and funds that we can invest our money in. So it's much better to do that. But due to the darura, the scholars, they say it's allowed to have the checking account. As for the credit card, what the scholars say is that the credit card, again, it's when you use a credit card, you're getting involved in a contract which says that if you don't pay it within a certain amount of time, they're going to add riba onto your payment. So, generally speaking, you should not use a credit card. However, again, in the West, having a credit history is something very important or almost necessary. If you want to rent a house, you need to have credit. So the ulama, they say that it's allowed to keep a credit card in the West, with the condition that it's only used as little as possible, it's paid off in time, and that we don't, as soon as we have enough of a credit history, we don't insist on using it. You can use a debit card or something else in that case. So it's allowed due to the necessity, but of course we should pay it on time, make the payments on time, inshallah.
The next question is about Jama'at al-Tabligh and Dawah. And basically the question, what's your opinion about Jama'at al-Tabligh and their works of Tabligh and Dawah? Also, is it okay for them to stay a couple of days at the mosque?
I was reading the opinion of Sheikh Ibn Thaymeen. He's one of the great scholars of Saudiya. He passed away, may Allah have mercy on him. And he said that people take two extremes when it comes to the effort of the Dawah and Tabligh. Some people say run away from them like a lion, like you're running away from a lion. They're very, very critical. And other people, they only always try to only praise, and they don't point out if there's anything that's said that's incorrect. But what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said there's no doubt that many people have become guided through their efforts. Many non-Muslims have become Muslim. Many Muslims have repented and made tawbah. And so he said that this is a permissible this work, because the actions they do are based on what is permissible Islam, the i'tikaf in the masjid, visiting for the sake of Allah and giving dawah for the sake of Allah. So he took a middle stance, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, that's his fatwa that I read recently.
The next question, my mom and I cannot seem to have a normal conversation. She's always shocked at my opinions and want me to do things her way. What do I do? Please help.
I don't know if I can help, but I just wanted to add also that for the dawah, we should always encourage the effort of dawah. This is one of the other things. We should try not to be an obstacle in terms of the giving of the dawah. So alhamdulillah, we should encourage people to, we need the effort of the missionary work and the attracting to Islam. So we should also encourage that, inshallah. For the sister here, or for the person who's asking about the mom, she's shocked at my opinions. Alhamdulillah, the mother, your mother, she made so much effort to raise you. So we always have to try not to offend the mother or the father. Try to have birr, literally it means being good to the parents. Even if they do wrong, even if they wrong you, even if they say harsh things, ifa billati hiya ahsan. This is always a good advice. Repel with that is which is better. If somebody says something harsh, try to say something kind in return. This is the akhlaq of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That one Arabi started choking him, a Bedouin. He said, give me the money you owe me. And so the Sahaba were ready to kill this Bedouin. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, no, the person who has a right, he has a person who is owed something, has a right to speak. He said, give him the money that he's owed. So he kept sabr with that. And so if somebody's arguing, you can keep quiet. And this is something that we can do. If somebody's arguing, if the mother or says something, the person can restrain themselves, have sabr. And inshallah, Allah will reward for that sabr. Allah will reward you for your sabr. You can try to change the subject to a beneficial topic. If you're arguing about something, dunya, cleaning the house or something like that, change the subject to some beneficial topic about Islam, or say, mention some verses of the Quran. When somebody's angry, they recite the Quran, the shaitan, he runs away. He leaves that gathering, the dhikr of Allah. So try to, inshallah, try to keep patient with your mother, inshallah, and try to keep the sabr and keep the conversation on positive things and beneficial things, inshallah.
Next question is, if there is no imam, can anybody give khutbas or lead prayer even if they are not fit for it?
Alhamdulillah,
the person who wrote the question, I'm assuming he's qualified to give the khutbah. How do you judge people? Alhamdulillah.
This is difficult if there's not a, we have to, this is one thing that we have to work on as a community. We have to train people who are good and we have to, sometimes everybody wants their child to be engineer or doctor. But who wants their child to be a scholar, to be an imam, to be a khatib? These are great things. These are noble goals for a child to have, mashallah. We have some young brothers here. So they should be taught how to give the khutbah, even when they're young. Start teaching them, you know, give a khutbah, speak in front of people. They should be brave. This is part of maru'ah, manliness. So that they can speak for the haqq, they can speak for the truth. So it's really, you know, something that we have to examine our condition as an ummah. We have, mashallah, a huge masajid. But why don't we develop the resources for qualified people to teach? And why don't we have programs where we sponsor or have scholarships? We send brothers over to study, inshallah, learn the knowledge. So that we have to think in the long term, so that our ummah will have these resources. So alhamdulillah, I encourage the parents to have, to maybe the smartest child, teach him, guide him towards the path of being an Islamic scholar. Not only being a doctor is honorable, mashallah, being doctor of religion, mashallah, is very, very great, very great honor, mashallah. Doctor of Islam, doctor of the hearts of, you know, of people's illnesses. So alhamdulillah, you know, this is a very noble thing. And inshallah, I hope in the future we can develop more qualified and knowledgeable people who can take on this role. It's not just this masjid, it's something we have to deal with in the West as an ummah. So inshallah, may Allah help us to do that, inshallah.
You know, this issue is not a problem just in Cincinnati here. It's all over the country. You don't see imams at the masajid. And even not just in Cincinnati, all over the country. In Chicago itself, there are 120 mosques. In Cincinnati, we have 7 mosques, and there is one in the west, in the east. But it is an issue, it is a problem, and there are no imams available to cover all the masajid. We advertised to hire an imam. We received about 7 or 8 applications. 3 of them are okay, qualified. And alhamdulillah, Imam Faisal, he's the first one we interview, but it is a problem. How do we deal with that? Even when we hire an imam, we're not going to expect the imam to give the khutbah every Friday. We're not. Because we're going to allow him to travel to give khutbahs around other masajids. And if we have a treasure, like an imam, we don't want to be selfish and just keep him for ourselves. We're going to share that knowledge with the Muslims around us so that they can benefit. My daughter teaches an Islamic school in Columbus. It's middle school, and the kids themselves, they have Jum'ah, and the kids, they take turns and they give khutbah. Now, there are rules and regulations we have to follow to give the khutbah, and I think if you want to expand on that, that's fine.
The purpose of the khutbah is to teach the people, so the knowledge of Sharia Islam should be taught through the khutbah. People should learn about the dhikr of Allah. وَإِذَا نُودِيَ مِنْ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ فَسَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says in Surah Al-Jum'ah, when the call is made, you come to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course the khutbah has to be, according to some of the ulama, they say there should be a reminder of the taqwa of Allah. Since some of the scholars, they say that the khutbah is not valid unless there's a reminder for the taqwa of Allah. And people should be taught how to obey Allah, how to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can learn from that time. And the goal of the khutbah. The goal of the khutbah is to help people to learn their religion and to give them the dhikr of Allah azza wa jalla. And alhamdulillah, there's so much reward for the Jum'ah salah attending. Jum'ah ila Jum'ah kafara lima baynahuma. And even 3 days more, according to one narration. So mashallah, there's a great reward, but we have to, inshallah, have the respect for the Jum'ah, come early and listen carefully to the Khatib. And the Khatib, his role is to repeat what he learned from the other ulama. Not to give his own opinions or his own ideas, but what he learned from the other scholars so that the knowledge can spread and propagate that way, inshallah. Inshallah.
The next question is, according to the teaching of Islam, what is the acceptable form of birth control?
Okay, mashallah. Jazakallah khairan. It's a question of the types of birth control. As far as I know, the ulama, they say there's no harm in using the different types that are available as long as it doesn't bring harm to the wife or the husband. And also it should not be permanent. It should not be a permanent type of preventing the, like for example, the tubal ligation. If it's permanent, well, maybe the doctors can tell us, they can reverse that now, the tubal ligation, but it shouldn't be permanent, it shouldn't be harmful. So Allahu A'lam, you know, there's different means, there's the withdrawal and the other things, I don't want to get into it, but as far as I know, they're all allowed. Again, it's if it's for a valid reason, if it's to space between the children, then there's no harm, inshallah ta'ala. It can be through the pills. Oh, maybe this is what the questioner has in mind. Are the pills allowed? And scholars, they allow it, as provided that it doesn't bring harm to the woman. And so the there is a question. They say that sometimes these pills, it causes a cycle to be, the woman's menstrual cycle to be very hard to track. And after that, she doesn't know when to make salah or not. And there could be other issues. So the woman, she has to, the husband and the wife, oh, that's another thing. There has to be agreement from both spouses for birth control. The wife cannot use the birth control without telling the husband. That the husband has a right to have the children as the wife, so they have to come to an agreement regarding that if they would like to use it.
How do you handle the issue of masturbation?
Okay, this is a question that we should address. I know it's an embarrassing question, but the scholars, they say that the secret habit of the masturbation is haram. And the reason for that is Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُونَ. And then he says, فَمَنْ إِبْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. So you're the people who guard their private parts, except from their wives, and the right-hand possession, their husbands, also, if for a woman, and whoever wants other or beyond that, then those are the people who are transgressing. And also, the Prophet ﷺ would have allowed it to the Sahaba when they were traveling and they had hardship. And the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't tell them that. He said, you should fast. So it would have been an alternative, but he didn't say that. He said, if you cannot, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِيعَ فَعَلَيْكَ بِالصَّوْمِ. So they should fast to restrain the desires. Person, they have to fast to restrain the desires. So fasting, a person who's not married, they should fast, they should practice lowering their gaze, and avoid those environments that will incite their hawa, their passions. They should avoid those type of environments. And then the other alternative is, of course, early marriage, inshallah. So this is, these things are, the secret habit is not allowed, according to the form of that. There is one opinion that some people quote from the madhab of Imam Ahmad, but it's what I learned from the ulama. They said that what he was referring to is that sometimes a person would have a dream where there would be some of the fluid left, and so he would have to remove that fluid by any means so it wouldn't become infected or harmful. So then he allowed it in that case. So it's not a general thing where he allowed it, but he allowed it only in that specific case. That's what is narrated in the madhab of Imam Ahmad. Allahu a'lam.
I think this is the issue, question, the issue of the imam. Imam position is very honorable and has a lot of responsibility, but many imams give khutbas according to wishes of the masjid committee. In my opinion, they are not honest. What is your opinion? For example, many of them misguide innocent. There's a lot of judgment.
Brother wants to get me in trouble before I even started. Started as me. You know, subhanAllah. Now, alhamdulillah, you know, there's mashura. وَأَمْرُهُمْ shura بَيْنَهُمْ. So the imam, he has to have a mashura with the people. Now, this is a responsibility for the imam. So it's not, he shouldn't only consider himself, but he should also make mashura with the people. So there's a good connection. So there's love for the people, for the imam. These people, if they don't have the love for the imam, they're not going to learn from him. So there has to be the shura, there has to be the good.
I think we need to qualify that. I think what I can read of this is the person who is giving the khutbah. I think there are misuse of the word imam.
No.
There are definition of the imam. We don't have an imam. We have people, 8-9 people who give the khutbahs. But I think what they are talking about here is a person of who is giving the khutbah.
Right.
And I think this is what they are talking about.
Well, you know, the other thing is that the imam has to speak the truth. You know, that's part of his duty, his obligation. So, you know, when something has to be said, he should say it. You know, but of course, it has to be done with wisdom. And inshallah, shouldn't be done in a way that will lead to greater harm. Right? So there has to be the wisdom in that, inshallah. Difficult question.
Take my microphone. Alhamdulillah, thank you for coming. May Allah reward all of you. Inshallah, tomorrow we have a session with our Imam Faisal Ahmed. We'll be here around 7 o'clock. He will give a lecture, and then we'll have a question and answer afterward. And we need your input to evaluate Brother Faisal.
Do you have a youth session tomorrow too?
Yes, there is a youth session from 12 to 4. And I think they are going to have lunch also. And about 12 to 4, the youth. If you consider yourself youth, great. They did not define the age.
All the parents here, they've got to bring their kids.
Yes, bring your kids. I think it's going to be a workshop. My understanding is going to be a workshop. And it's going to be a game. They're going to play a game. And then Imam Faisal at the end, he's going to speak to them. But I think what I'm hearing is going to be very interesting. And in the evening, inshallah, we're not going to have dinner. It's going to be bring your dessert. And we're going to just have dessert. And then, inshallah, lecture. And then a question and answer. Inshallah will be done by Maghrib. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward all of you. And I'm going to ask Imam Faisal to make dua for all of us.
Jazakumullah khair for coming. Inshallah, I'm going to stay afterwards. If anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them on an individual basis also, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulim Kareem. Allahumma taqabbal minna, innaka anta sami'un alim, wa tub alayna, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وافتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك يا رب العالمين اللهم نعوذ بك من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا اللهم اهدنا واهدبينا اللهم اجعلنا مفاتيحا للخير مغاليقا للشر واجري الخير على أيدينا اللهم ربنا حبلنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما Allahumma, oh Allah, please accept from our gathering today. Please accept from all the brothers who came, the sisters who came. Let our knowledge benefit us and be for us and not against us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, save us from perdition on the Day of Judgment. Save us from punishment in the grave. Enter us in the paradise. Keep us firm on the Tawheed. Keep our children firm on the oneness of Allah. Ya Allah, give Islam success. Give Islam and the Muslim success in all places in the world, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Save us from a bad ending. Ya Allah, save us from a bad ending. Ya Allah, bless our children and our families. Save us from the hellfire. O Allah, save our community, this whole community, all the Muslims from the hellfire. Guide us all to follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, to hold on to your book and hold on to his sunnah, to love the imams and scholars who came before us. Ya Allah, help us to follow in their footsteps. Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ya Dhan Jalali Mukram. O Allah, forgive all of our sins. Forgive all of our sins, Ya Allah. Let us return home free of sins, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and accept from us and help us to follow and obey you and have taqwa of you. Ya Allah, let this masjid be a source of guidance and spreading of knowledge to all of the land, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Akram al Akramin, Ya Dhan Jalali wal Ikram. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah.